we were talking yesterday, we mentioned this about the pledge and the call, the pledge by Simon Harris and the call for Simon Harris, the new Taoiseach, to rush through legislation that would stop families of the victims of some of the country's worst criminals from being put through traumatic parole hearings for at least 20 years. Maria Dempsey spoke and made that call as quadruple killer John Geary, who killed her daughter Alicia Brock in November 2010, is again applying for parole to get out of prison. I spoke to Maria yesterday after the show, and I asked her to outline, you know, what the process is like and what she's calling on the new Taoiseach to do to give families a break in this area.
Okay, you know, so obviously people all know that one of the campaigns that he is in his position wants to take up is actually giving out longer sentences, and part of that was that maybe now after murder 20 years should be the 20 year sentence before parole is something that they're going to be looking at. So, you know, obviously for us, like, that would have been and would be an amazing help in our own recovery. You know, like I've said many times, you know, we lost Alicia in 2010. We didn't get to court until 2013. And then by 2007, he had his first parole review. You know, even back then, people thought that there was the 7-year parole started once they started the sentencing, but it didn't. It actually started as they were remanded. So, you know, our first part there was 4 years since the trial, and then we got the letter, which incidentally at the time came on the anniversary of Alicia's death, and Sarah Rhys and Amy's, their family too, got it on the anniversary of the death, which was a bit of a shock because it's the kind of day that you always dread anyway. And then you know, through the campaign and everything, they made it the benchmark 12 years, which I was really grateful for. It seems such a step towards, you know, in the right direction. But you know, thinking about it, it's like, no, very few, I can't even think who's going to be let out at 12 years, but particularly a person who's killed 4 people, and 2 of those only children. It's just beyond belief that they would be considered for parole, and that's the law, and that's their entitlement, you know. So, you know, there's not a lot we can say about it, but
yeah,
for us,
yeah,
as a family. But going forward, for other families, if ever such a dreadful thing was to happen again, which we all know it will do, you know, that they will have a clear period of time where they've done the trial and then it's over until 20 years are served or whatever they'll come at, you know. And that's time to recover, whereas, you know, we actually received a letter last year, the notice that he was due, and I just recently had the meeting, which I've got to praise was incredible. You know, now that the board will meet with families, you can either go to Dublin and meet them, somebody can come to meet you, you can do it through a solicitor, or as I did, through a Zoom, which, you know, I just felt that it was actually the easiest and even like the cheapest way of doing, yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, because all of that, I'd imagine, Bria, comes into it. Like, that process has been improved a lot from what it was when you started out.
Dramatically. Dramatically.
I can only imagine.
You know, you can't imagine what it's... You can't, you know, just to sit down with a piece of paper to say why you feel like they shouldn't be looking at getting paroled. For one, it's almost like it's a disbelief that actually they would even be considering it, which I think, in fairness, they're not going to be considering it. It's just a process that they go through. So, you know, just looking at that, we're probably going to do four reviews before the 20 years is done, you know, realistically. And the whole process is probably going to take, well, the first one was a year from the letter to when we got a letter to say that he will be reviewed again in 3 years' time. So, you know, it's been a year now. So, you know.
Does that start a process then in your mind or the minds of victims' families that this isn't 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, this is a 12-month thing where it's in the back of your mind, this is ongoing, exactly. I don't have an answer, will he get out, won't he get out, that sort of stuff. That's very traumatizing, I'd say, is it?
It would be for people who know it's coming close, you know. I mean, for us, like, all I can imagine, there would be absolute holy hell if they turned around in a few months' time and said, you know, yes, he's eligible for parole. Because, I mean, he's not. it can't be considered, especially with two children. You know, it's just a process, which is just, to me, it's wasting their time, kind of wastes our time. It's waste, you know, it's like this little thumping in the chest. It's not that you know that he's going to go out, it's just the whole thing of, like, the first time I wrote four or five letters and I never ended up sending one because all the conclusion was is, oh, I'm just not ready for this.
Yeah.
And I've kind of felt that way now, but I thought, no, I'll take the time, just this time I'll do it. And I did, and like I said, you know, it was still quite an emotional process, but it was much easier than writing. I was able just to speak and they could ask questions and it was a lot easier. So so that's two, and we've probably got two more. So I just think that if they say, you know, if judges had the ability to say, you know, four murders, this is an horrendous crime, you know, Mr. Geary, you are going to do 24 years before parole. You know what I mean? That saves the country money, because you don't have to go through that parole process. It could be just an ongoing thing that they do in prisons, how they're behaving, and are they taking the opportunity I can't think of the words at the minute, but you know, when they have a program,
just to rehabilitate themselves and non-violence and a program of dealing with the issues that they clearly have.
Yeah. And that money might be best spent in rehabilitation, because I think everybody is well aware that they're not the best programs. You know, probably because of they just give just enough. So there's like a lot of money needed to rehabilitate people. So maybe that it is an answer. It's a way of saving the state money. It's a way of a prisoner knowing how much time they're doing. You know, they're not going to be getting their hopes up too soon, you know, in the whole, this parole, I'm getting a bit closer to getting out of here.
That time, and look, Maria, the tarnished Micheál Martin has said there's a need to constantly review whether or not parole comes up too early in these cases involving rapists or murderers. He said, I believe rapists and people who commit murder need long sentences, and one area we need to constantly review is where parole comes up too early. So, like, with his comment and with the stated objectives of Simon Harris, are you hopeful that this will be pushed through, that, like, before the end of the lifetime of this government, this legislation will be changed and it will be a situation for people, will, you know, judges will have that ability to say, look, your crime is so bad, it's going to be 20 years before you're eligible?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't see why it's not possible. I know there's lots of complications in the whole process, but, you know, the work being put in is, right now, is good enough for me, you know, that actually they are considering that, you know, because the whole problem with the whole government thing is that the money that a crime costs is spread out between so many departments, they might not even have an idea of the costs of what it costs the country as being a victim of crime or as housing prisoners, you know, the mental health services that are needed, the parole process, the court supports, the guard, you know, there's so much money involved that really I think that it's the answer to a lot of the of what's wrong. You know, maybe it might be a more of a deterrent knowing that actually murder and sexual violence is going to be carrying a much heavier sentence. Might won't stop everybody, but hopefully, like, you know, a few percentage of the murders would be less.
Yeah.
And the money would be well spent in rehabilitation rather than constant parole processes.
Yeah, parole processes, and a bit more money could go towards directing services as to where, you know, to change, in that some people can be changed, some people can't, but that the work would go on in prison, yeah, rather than the prisoner spending all their time applying and kicking off this process, yeah, every couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, if you think in 20 years, 4 years and the 20 years for us is going to have been spent, well, actually, yeah, 4 years is going to be have spent receiving the letter, knowing that it's coming up, and then receiving the letter of the outcome. So, you know, that's 4 years, and plus the 3 years that we were waiting for trial, you know. That's 7 years of our life of 20 that has had him kind of lingering around in the background of our lives.
Yeah, yeah, and a life that has been, you know, already deeply impacted by the loss of Alicia and Sarah and Reese and Amy, for you and the other, yeah, victims' families as well. And even that point you made, Maria, and I don't know why this is the case, but obviously it is the case, but that the clock starts ticking once they're on remand. Surely the clock should start ticking once they get sentenced in terms of the crime,
yeah,
that they will be convicted of.
These are all shocks. These are all things that just come as such a shock, you know. It's like,
yeah,
oof.
I'm not sure anyone could, you know, explain why that would be the case, or why legally it would be a good idea for that to happen. That your sentence should start,
yeah,
on a particular day when you're convicted, and that's when the clock for parole should start.
Yeah, yeah, it should. Definitely. Oh, there should be some incentive, like if they pleaded guilty. Oh, if they pleaded guilty. You know what I mean? That should be a good score. Especially when the evidence is so obvious, you know.
Yeah, and overwhelming.
I know we have to be careful. There has been the occasions, but like, it's a very minute number of people who've been wrongly convicted, you know. It's not
Yes.
It's not a high number, considering how many, you know, John Geary is actually like a mass murderer. It's a definition, you know, and he's serving a crime, he's serving a sentence a long time, somebody who murdered one person, which just, it's just so bizarre that that's what it was like. And really, I suppose now maybe they'd word sentencing different. I don't know how they would cope with it if it happened again, but
yeah.
It's definitely something that, you know, the more heinous your crime, that's, you know, I think there should be some discretion, and I hope it does come soon. And I do believe, you know, I spoke to Simon Harris last year during the review of the needs of families after femicide and infanticide, and his, like, I've spoken to a lot of ministers in my time, and he was very genuine, and he really did see, like, he had done his homework, he knew fine the details, and he'd taken the time, and, you know, I'm hopeful that,
yeah,
it will,
okay,
be worked up.